Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. We God bless each and every one of you that are listening on this wonderful, wonderful Saturday morning, afternoon. Amen. We praise God for each and every one of you. This is the Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle right here on Blog Talk Radio, right here on the Spirit Alive Network. We are live right now. On the air, this is the show to get your weekend started off right. This is the show where the gospel is told and not sold, y'all. Amen. We praise God. And if you are listening to me right now, like I say every week, if you're listening to me right now, you are blessed, not because you're hearing my voice, but not because of my voice, but because if you're hearing my voice, you are in the land of the living. And that is a reason to give God the praise on today. Amen. We are so excited to be here on today in Jesus' name. Want to give honor to whom honor is due. Amen. We give honor to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the head of our life in Jesus' name. Also want to give honor to my beloved pastor and first lady in Jesus' name, my pastor, Pastor William A. Tuggle III, in Jesus' name, and my First Lady Cosette Dropman Tuggle, in Jesus' name, over there at Triumph in Faith Apostolic Church. Amen. I praise God for each and every one of them and their absence in Jesus' name. They might be listening. Amen. Also want to give honor to the founder of the Spirit Alive Network. Amen. The founder and the leader of this network, in Jesus' name, that God has given us, Bishop Sherlene Cook. Amen. I love you in Jesus' name. Give honor to you as well in Jesus' name. And give honor to all of the ministers that are on the Spirit Alive Network in Jesus' name. I like doing that because the Bible does say give honor to whom honor is due. Amen. But today I want to talk about something, and this is today the Lord has dealt with me, and this was something that the Lord had dealt with me on last week and the week prior on praise. This is something that every person can do. Nobody is exempt. Amen. Nobody is exempt from giving the Lord praise. Amen. Nobody is exempt from giving the Lord the glory and the honor that is due to his name. Amen. The Bible says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. That is in Psalms 150. Amen. But I want to look at something. There is a title to this topic today, and it is titled, This Praise is Leading to Your Blessing. Amen. This praise is leading to your blessing. Amen. I praise God for the praises of God because that we can give him, because praise is not only reverence to the Lord Jesus Christ, but it is also a weapon for our benefit. It is a weapon for our help, and it is a weapon to the devil's destruction of his kingdom. Amen. We can use praise to help build up our own faith. We can use praise to distract the devil. Amen. Because when you give God praise,
when you give God praise, it not only uplifts your faith, but it also distracts the devil. Amen. And praise also moves Jesus Christ. Amen. That's why this is titled, This Praise is Leading to Your Blessing. Because when you praise God, when you praise him, and this is not a I don't want to say a beat down topic, but a lot of people, there are some, I'm not going to say a lot, but some people only praise God when on the mountaintop. Some praise God when they're just in the valley. But the Bible says in Psalms 34, I will bless the Lord. I will bless the Lord at what? All times. And his praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord, and the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Why are they being glad after hearing me praise the Lord or hearing somebody praise the Lord? Because the Lord, the Lord's praises the praise that comes from your lips to the Lord attracts people. Why? Because their soul is attracted to praise. Everybody's spirit, everybody's soul is contracted to praise. I don't care what it is. And everybody likes to, have recognition every now and then. Amen. Everybody. That's why I said praise attracts people. And when you're praising the Lord and you're telling people about what the Lord has done for you, that attracts people. Amen. This is why we can say verse number 3 says, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Amen. Because you have boasted not in yourself, but in God. You have boasted, you have told somebody about what the Lord has done for you. Amen. And in the process, not only are you building up your own faith. See, this is why praise is a powerful weapon. And this is why this praise is leading to your blessing, because number one, you're blessing somebody else. When you tell somebody about, when you're praising God and you're telling somebody about what the Lord has done for you, or somebody sees you giving glory unto the Lord, you can give glory to the Lord and not say a word. You can praise him in your mind. There's several ways to praise him. I know the main source of praise might in thought might be, well, I'll praise him when I get to church, and I'll run around the church and I'll shout around the church, and that's all right. There are different forms of praise. You can praise him with your hands. You can praise him with your feet. You can praise, and let's go there. Let's go to Psalms 150. Psalms 150 lets us know how and the ways that some of the ways that we can praise God. Amen. Psalms, the book of Psalms anyway is a book of praise. David wrote the book of Psalms in the form of wanting to give God the praise. David was a praiser. He blessed God in every area of his life. He honored God through his praise. He honored God for two reasons. He was the apple of God's eye for two reasons. Number one, David would always repent. He was a repented man. And second, he was always praising God. He always praised him. He never went without praising the name of Jesus and repenting unto God. Amen. But Psalms 150 says, praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery in harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with the string instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high sounding cymbals. And this last part of this scripture, this last verse, this is where, you know, where we, when we go to church, you know, we have different auxiliaries in the church. We have the men's ministry, and we have the women's ministry, and we have the praise and worship leaders, or the praise team, or whatever you want to call it. We have the bishops and the deacons and all of that. And we have people that are in their different auxiliaries and their different jobs in the church. And you might have somebody that's unsaved that just now coming in, or are newly saved, and they're just now coming in, and they don't understand the works of what's going on in the church yet. So they can't really do anything. But this verse right here allows anybody, saved or unsaved, to participate in this part of a service, in this part of their life. Amen. And it says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. It didn't say whether you were saved. It didn't say whether you was unsaved. It didn't say whether you were baptized in Jesus' name. It didn't say whether if you were not baptized in Jesus' name. It just said, let everything that has breath. Do you understand that can be, like I said earlier, praise can be a weapon. Praise is your weapon. Praise is your weapon for you to receive the Holy Ghost. Praise could be your weapon into you leading up to receiving the Holy Ghost. Well, you might say, well, how is that so? Because when you praise God, God is moved. God moves in the midst of our praises. He is moved by our praises. He said he dwells. He dwells in the midst of praise. He inhabits praises. What do you mean he inhabits? What does that word mean? That means he is in the midst of those people that praise him. And if God is moved off of his throne to come and see your praise, what is that doing? It's moving God. And it makes him want to bless you right then and there. When you think God does not hear you in your prayers, after you pray, you should praise. After your prayer, you should pray. There's a song by Jay Moss, and it was an old song, and it was called Don't Pray and Worry. The reason why I say don't pray and worry is because you need to pray, but you need to add another P on there. You need to pray and praise. Praise right after you pray, because it moves God to move for you, and it elevates your faith in God. It moves God to move for you. It distracts the enemy. How does your praise distract the enemy? Well, when you are going through a trial, and you're going through a test, and you're going through an issue, or you're going through with your family or your friends or your loved ones or your children or your aunts or your uncles or your mother or your father, it does not matter. It moves God, but it also distracts the devil. It distracts the devil because when you're praising him in the midst of your testing, in the midst of your trial, it confuses the enemy. It's like, well, I thought I had him. I thought I had her, but I got to move in another way because they're still praising God. Why are they still praising God and they have a light bill? And why are they still praising God and their children are acting out? And why? I got to go in another way. The reason why man can't understand why you have a smile on your face, the doubters and the naysayers, see, the reason why is because of the praises of God. When you praise God, you get joy. Because in the midst of your praise, you got to think of what God has done for you. And when you think about what God has done for you, then you start praising God for even more. See, there's a remedy. See, there's a whole lot that goes into praise. There's a whole lot of detail that goes into praise. When you praise him, this is what leads us to our blessing. This is why we say praise is a weapon, because when you, what the Bible says, think on these things. Think on these things that are of a good report. Amen. The Bible says, think on these things that are true, that are honest, you know, that are pure, that are of a good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. That's why they said, think on, that's why the Bible says, think on these things. Why is it telling us to think on these things? Because it transforms the praises. When you start thinking about how good God has done, been to you, start thinking about the, when you get into a test or a trial, don't worry about the trial. And I've said this before. When you go through a test in a trial, whether it be bills, whether it be family, whatever it might be, whether it be sickness, don't think about the problem all the time. Actually, you shouldn't be thinking about the problem after you pray about it anyway. Do you know that God, and this is, and I am a firm testament to this, the times that I have prayed and still thought about the issue, do you know God, it takes God longer to move? And this is from my own personal things that I've been through. I'm not telling you something that I haven't been through myself. I have literally prayed to God and said, at the name of Jesus, this is going to be done. And then 5 minutes later or 10 minutes later, I'm worried about it. I'm like, Lord, when are you going to show up? Lord, when are you going to show up? And it delays the blessing. It delays it. It delays what you want. And I've experienced this. This is not something that I just thought off the top of my head. This is something that I've experienced. It delays God because your faith is not being activated. We can't live. The Bible lets us know without faith, it is impossible to please God. And if we're not pleasing unto God, God's not going to move. But when we have the faith enough to believe, that pleases him. And he's able to move. He's able to move on our behalf. So how do we know? How do we elevate our faith? We praise. We think on these things that are of a good report. What is of a good report? The past of what God has done for us. We know that to be true. It said, think on these things that are true. Okay, we know that God has brought us out. We know God brought us out of this sickness, out of this test, from this bill, from that bill, from this childhood disaster. He's done brought our children over this hurdle and that hurdle. Why can't God bring my child over that hurdle right there? We got to stop worrying about the problem. So much on the problem, but worry about the light at the end of the tunnel. When it comes down to it, when we give God the praise, it is not only distracting the devil, but it is letting God know, God, I believe you. God, I'm seeking you. God, I understand that I'm going through right now, but my praise is telling God, I believe you. I trust you. I trust that you're gonna bring me out. I trust that you're gonna make a way out of no way. I may not see the way, but my praise tells God, I know that there's gonna be a way. There have been many, many times, and I'm not telling you something that I have not experienced. I'm going to say that again. I have been through the fire in my life where God has made a way when there was no way, when man said there was no way, when Bill said there was no way. Money was funny, and I didn't have me. This is me in my single life before I got married. I was single. by myself, no children. I've been in testing trials by myself. I've been in testing trials in my marriage. There are so many testing trials that I could testify about that God has brought me by myself out of and me and my wife out of. There were many bills that I've had where I didn't know the way out by myself. And I didn't have, and this is me testifying about the goodness of God. Wife didn't know where the money was going to come from. I didn't know where the money was going to come from, but the Lord made a way. There have been plenty of times where I have literally, since I've been married, there have been many times where I have, my wife has come to me about bills and different issues of our home and was like, Adam, what are we going to do? And I'm like, everything going to be all right. And that's all I could say. And in the back of my mind, I didn't know where it was going to come from. Had bills, didn't know how they were going to get paid. But I just said, everything going to be all right. And that's all I said. And I believed it. As the head of the home, you got to, as you being the man or woman of God, or the person of the head of your home, whether you be man or woman, whether you be a single parent or whether you be a single father or mother, whatever, if you being the head of that home, whether you are a married couple and got children or don't have children, and you don't know where that money coming from, or you don't know how that bill going to get paid, or you don't know how this is going to get done, you don't know how that's going to get done, you trust God. Amen. Trust him. Trust and believe him. Amen. He will bring you out. Now, I want to do this. I want to read the rest of Psalms 34. I want to read that because I want to get the gist of what we are talking about today. It states in Psalms 34, verse number 4, it says, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Verse number 5 says, they looked upon him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. Verse number 6, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Verse number 7, and the angel of the Lord encamped around about them that feared him and delivered them. Verse number 8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusted in him. Now, I like verse number 8 because at the end of verse number 8, it says, blessed is the man that trusted in him. This is letting us know two things. Blessed is the man that trusted in him. I was looking at that verse and I was asking the Lord, I said, well, Lord, why would you put that in there? Why would you put that in the word? Just asking. I'm not denying your word. I'm just asking why. To trust you. You know, sometimes we as people, we put our trust in a lot of things. And like I said, this is not a topic to beat anybody or to scold anybody or anything like that. This is not for that. But this is just here to encourage somebody today. We put our trust in a lot of things. Sometimes we go throughout our day putting our trust in things that we're not even aware that we're putting our trust in them. I'm going to give you an example. If you get up in the morning, first of all, you put your trust in your home, to the fact that your roof is going to that water is not going to leak through your roof or through your ceiling. You put your trust in your car to get you to your destination. Amen. And I'm not saying that we're putting our trust in it like we're putting it above God. I'm not saying that. That's not what I'm saying. So let me clear that up first. Let me get that cleared up. We're not putting things above God. That's not what I'm saying. But we have trust in the job. Like we go to our job and we expect a paycheck from that job after that week or that 2 weeks is over, right? We trust them to pay us our wage. Amen. Or we trust when we want to sit down and eat at the table or watch TV or read our word or whatever. We trust that chair to sit down in. That chair is going to hold us up. Amen. This little minute thing. But that same trust, I said that all that to say this, that same trust that we put in that chair to hold us up or that car to get us to our destination or that job to pay us our wage at the end of those 2 weeks, we need to have that same trust in God. We are so easy to trust a couch to hold us up in the living room. It don't make no sense. It makes no sense. For we have so much trust in that chair to hold us up in the living room, but we can't trust God to heal a headache. Knowing that that chair could break at any minute, no matter what size a person is, that chair could break down because that chair gonna get old, that couch gonna get old, but we trust it. Amen. It's the same thing. We have to have that trust in God. So I asked the Lord, I said, well, why did you put that in there? And the Lord showed me why he put that in that verse. And he said, the trust part is not just for you to trust in me. It's letting you know that you're going to go through something. You're going to go. You can't trust me if you don't go through something. What are you going to trust me for? If I don't allow you to go through some heartache and some pain, what are you trusting me for if I don't allow stuff to happen for me to bring you out of? That trusting in him is a powerful, powerful. It's a short sentence in that verse. In that verse number 6, it's a short little sentence, but it's very, very powerful. Amen. It's very, very powerful because when we look at it, we're like, okay, we read it all the time in church. This poor man cried and the Lord heard him and delivered him out of all his troubles. And in verse number 8, it says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusted in him. When we read that verse number 8, we quote it all the time in church, but do we really know what it means? And the Lord showed me, you can't trust me if you have to old taste and see. That means you're going to go through some tests. You're going to go through, the Lord is letting us know through this verse that we're going to go through some stuff. We're going to go through it. There's no ways around it. Whether you saved or unsaved, it don't matter. You're going to go through tests and trials in this life. You cannot go through this life all your life without going through any tests or trials. You're not gonna do that. Whether you can be the biggest name on the roll, you can be the pastor, you can be the bishop, or you can be the little child. Everybody goes through tests. Everybody goes through something in their life. But without those things, you have nothing. And look, let me show you something. The Bible says, think on these things. Think on these things that are of a good report. Where's the good report if you don't go through it? Uh-oh. That's why this praise is leading to your blessing. How? if I have nothing to praise God, if I don't go through something, I won't have nothing to praise God for, which means I don't get to my blessing. Come on, somebody. Lord Jesus Christ, this is something that we need. We need. I thank God for the testing trials. Now, do I want to go through them? No. Nobody wants to go through testing trials. Nobody wants to go through physically. Not even Jesus wanted to die. Jesus' natural side of him didn't want to die. So if Jesus didn't want to die, I already know mankind don't want to go through any problems. I understand that. Your natural side of you does not want to go through any tests or trials. I understand it. It hurts. Jesus' natural side did not want to die because he know what pain he had to go through. So the Lord understands that part because he went through it. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, "Let this, if it be thy will, let this cup, what? Pass from me, if it be thy will." And we want to say that all the time. Lord, if it be thy will, let this pass from me. Let, please, please, please. But you got to have the faith enough to believe. That's why the songwriter says, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. I praise God for saving me. But it took for you to think about it. But if you don't go through the test or the trial, you won't have nothing to think about. God has this. God has your life wrapped up good. He wants you to have the blessing. He wants you to have the joy. He wants you to have the peace. But to get there, you got to go through it. He's not just going to, look, let me say it like this. The Lord is not a Santa Claus. He's not just dropping off blessings at your house, like the fairy tale says of Santa Claus. He's not the Easter Bunny. He's not none of that. He's God. He's God Almighty. Yes, he rains blessing. Yes, he opens doors that we wouldn't have wouldn't be able to see by ourselves. Amen. He's the one that opens up the windows of heaven and pours out blessings that we won't have room enough to receive. But how do we get to that place? We got to get to a place where we are praising God in the midst of the test. That's why Psalm 34, verse 1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. In the good times, I will bless him. In the bad times, I will bless him. In the times that I don't feel like doing it, I'm going to bless him. Why? Because it will reach me to my blessing. If I bless him, he said that he will not withhold no good thing from them that love him. He will not withhold no good thing. He won't withhold it. He will not withhold it. And especially somebody that's loving on him, Jesus likes to be loved on too. He likes to hear, when look, and I'm going to use this as an example. And if you, look, let me stop right here. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, call me. I want somebody today to give their testimony. I know I didn't say it at the beginning of the show, but call in. Give your testimony if you want to. But this is the time. This is the time in the season that we are living in. We need it because there's so much stuff on TV that we are seeing, so much on the news every day. We just had a mass shooting in Texas in a school. And now, not even a couple days afterwards, I heard of a shooting in a hospital. Heard about a shooting in a hospital. Heard about a shooting in a grocery store. We need to hear the praises of God going forward, what God has done. Because the way the world is today, the world's mindset has gotten so messed up. And I said that this was not going to be a beatdown topic today, but I got to go the way the Lord is leading me. In the era and time that we are living in evil days, y'all. We are living in evil days. It is time for us as people of God to give God. We ain't got time to worry about the problems and the issues of our life. Now, I know problems and issues hurt. I know that you're going to be thinking about them. But you should not be so pondering on those issues that it messes your mind up. That you think more about the problem than you do the blessing, than you do the praise and the blessings of God. It shouldn't be that way. And I have said this throughout the years, since, I believe it was 2010. From the start of 2005 to 2010, I went through an issue with my heart. And I never questioned God. I never questioned that. I tell this testimony everywhere I go because I like to encourage people. I told God, I asked him a question, not to question God, but to ask him why. What, did I do something wrong? Because it's If a man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. The Bible says it. I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know why I was in this place in my life. I didn't know why I wanted to ask God. Why did I do something wrong? It wasn't to question him. It was just to get an answer from him, like, why am I going through this? I need to know why. But God never charge God foolishly. I never blamed the person. I didn't blame my mama, nor my daddy, nor my loved ones for what I was going through. And there was one thing that I told my former pastor around that time of my life, and she was so impressed by it because she said I've heard of people doing that, but I've never heard of a young person doing it. I never asked God to heal me. I never asked God to heal me. I wasn't even concerned about him healing me at that point. I was more concerned about praising him than anything else. And everybody at that time in my life that knew me or that knows me knew I love to praise the Lord. I still love to praise the Lord. I love to praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord at the drop of a dime. But at that time, I wasn't concerned about, and I'm not going to say I wasn't concerned about my health because I was, but I wasn't concerned about my health to the point that, hey, look, I just need to stop doing everything. I'm not going to stop. Now, I might slow down, but I'm not going to stop praising God. You might as well hang that up because my doctor at the time, he was telling me, you need to slow down and you need to stop doing this and you need to stop doing that. What are you doing to do this? And you can't do that no more. No. And I told my doctor, I said, I will slow down a little bit because of my heart and everything, and I'll listen to you, but I'm not going to stop. I'm going to wave my hand, do something. I'm going to do something. I'm not just going to stop and stand there and just die. No, I'm not just going to sit here and just die and wait to die. That's basically what he was telling me to do. I'm not going to do that. Never been a person like that. Even before I got saved at a young age, I was never like that. I've always been a fighter of my life, of people's lives. I've always been that way. I've always wanted to go after more. So when, at that time in my life, all I wanted to do was praise God. That's all I wanted to do. And when I started thinking about the praises of what I wanted to do, of how I wanted to praise God, I said, Lord, I don't care about none of that other stuff. And this is literally what I said to the Lord. I don't care what I got to, look, if I, because I didn't know. I didn't know if I was going to die from what I went through. I didn't know what the Lord had in store for me. But I told the Lord, I said, Lord, just let me, just allow me, let me please. And I was begging and pleading with God. This is why my pastor said, I've never seen anybody beg and plead with God to praise him. And that's what I was doing. I was begging and pleading God. God, let me praise you like I want to. Let me, please, just please. Even if it was just one time, for a couple minutes, just let me praise you like I want to. And I wasn't concerned about my, at that time, I wasn't concerned about my health. I wasn't concerned about the problem. I wasn't concerned about the issue. I wasn't concerned about the after effects of my praise. I wasn't about my health-wise. I wasn't concerned about all that. Only thing I was concerned about is God getting his praise. That's it. That was it. That's all I was concerned about. He said in his word, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. He got to get the glory. And when I did that, this is how we got to be with praises of God. This is how we have to be. When we go through the testing and trials, we have to be that way. We have to be so sincere with God. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. To the point where we got to have that Job mentality where I don't care if I lose my life. I'm going to give you what's yours, Lord. It does not matter. And that's the mentality we have to have. That's why I'm saying what I'm saying. When you praise God, that's why the Bible says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. That's why the Bible in Psalms 34, verse 1 says, I will bless the Lord at what? All times. That's what that means. It does not matter. And at that time in my life, I was going through and I was fighting a heart condition. And if there's anybody that's new to the Spirit Alive Network and never heard about this testimony, I'm gonna give the short version. But I was having heart arrhythmia in my chest. Well, my heart rate would go up to 240 beats a minute. I was near death's door. And this just happened to me out of nowhere while I was in high school. I was getting off the bus, and I would go to school. I would get off the bus or go to another class, and my heart would just race out of control. And I wouldn't be doing nothing. It wasn't like I was at gym or running or whatever. I would just be walking down the hallway of my school, and my heart just raced out of nowhere. And I didn't know why. But one day, while going through the middle of it, I said, God, you know, I'm listening to my doctor and I'm listening to my pastor, because my pastor, my former pastor at that time, Pastor Dorothy McGordon, she said, you know what? The Lord understands that you want to praise him, but you got to listen to your doctor, baby. You got to listen to your doctor. If you want to praise the Lord, you got to wave your hand. You can praise God from your mouth, but you don't have to yell and, you know, all of that. You don't have to shout or anything. The Lord understands. Mom, I want to praise the Lord. I understand that, but you can't do that right now. Okay. I obeyed my pastor. I obeyed my mom and my daddy when my mom and daddy told me to sit down, you know, whatever. But I wanted to praise God. It was in me to praise him. And I told the Lord, I said, Lord, just let me praise you just one time, even if it's just one time. Let me praise you like I want to. And it wasn't during a service that he allowed me to. I remember like it was yesterday. We were in the middle of a choir rehearsal at the church. In the middle of choir rehearsal, the praise, the presence of the Lord was so high in that choir rehearsal. I mean, people started speaking in tongues. The whole choir was speaking in tongues while we were trying to rehearse a song. And I believe the song was How Excellent Is Thy Name. I believe that's the song that we were singing. We were singing How Excellent. And we all went in, and I started worshiping the Lord and started worshiping, and the Lord, I said, Lord, just let me praise you like I want to. Just let me praise you. I just want to dance before you, not before a man. I don't care what they, I don't care. I'm not here for them. I'm here for you. I want to bless your name. And this is honest truth. When I said that, I felt the hand of God. I felt a hand, literally a warm hand, touch my chest and hold my chest. And it felt like a man's hand, I kid you not, when I said it, and when I was in the midst of worshiping, and the voice said, if you praise me, I'll bless you. And in the midst of me praising the Lord, because I danced before the Lord that day, before I went into praising the Lord and dancing before the Lord, the enemy tried to get in my mind and say, you know what? If you praise the Lord right now, you'll drop dead. If you praise the Lord, if you give him that praise, you'll drop dead. You're going to drop dead. And in my mind, I told the enemy in my head, I said, if I'm going out of here, I'm going out of here with a praise. If I drop dead, at least I drop dead with a praise. I'm going out of here praising the Lord. I'm leaving off the earth, going out of here, and I'm going into eternity. I'm going in eternity praising the Lord. I came in this world, hallelujah, crying as a baby, but I'm going out of here praising God. And that was my mentality. Whatever happens, I'm going out of here praising the Lord. And I began to start praising God. And that same hand that I felt across my chest, I still felt it while I was praising him. And the Lord said, if you praise me, I'll bless you. And I kid you not, that next, it was about 3 weeks later, I was taking off all of my medications. My doctor told me, you don't have to come and see me no more. I kid you not. He said, you do not have to come and see me. I was going to see this man every week. I was getting blood drawn. I was taking blood thinners because I had a blood clot near my heart. He said, the blood clot is gone. You don't have to take no blood thinner medication. You don't have to take no heart medication. I don't know what's going on. He said, I don't know what happened. But all of that stuff subsided. He said, your heart is better than what it's ever been. Praises of God. And it's because I did not worry about what I was going through. I was more concerned about with God getting his praise. That's what I was more concerned about. I was more concerned about the work of God than my own self. So when we get to that place, we need to be in that place. To be more concerned about the praises of God. To be more concerned about the praises of God and the lifting of our faith and the lifting of our joy. Look, let me tell you something. Do you know that when you think of the goodness of Jesus, it lifts your faith? Come on. I'm about to break this down. See, this is the way the Lord has given it to me. Praise is your weapon because of the fact you not only it increases your faith. When you think of the goodness of Jesus, because I'm gonna say this the way the Lord has given it to me right now. When you think of the goodness of Jesus, see, you might be going through a test right now. And I hear and I see people going through tests that are listening to this broadcast right now. I'm about to stop everything. There are people that are listening to this broadcast right now. And I'm doing this under the unction of the Holy Ghost right now. You are going through something right now. and you don't know how you're going to make it out, well, I'm here to tell you that when you give God praise, it not only, your praise is not only a distraction for the enemy, but it's going to lift your faith, and it is going to bring you joy in the midst of what you're going through. I don't know who I'm talking to, but I'm talking to somebody. I don't know who it is. There's a woman out there that is listening. There's a woman out there. There's a man out there that's listening. Mm-hmm. There's a man out there who's listening. You got a problem going on. There's a woman in another country, in a foreign country, you're going through. Let me tell you. Man, woman, boy, or girl, if you give God praise, he will lift your faith and bring you out of that situation. And I'm about to break this down for everybody who's listening right now, the way the Lord gives it to me. The reason why you need to praise God in the midst of your problems is because you need your faith and you need the joy to get through it. The praise of God lifts your faith and brings you joy. How does it bring us joy? Because when you think on the things of God, when you think on the things that God has brought you from, it lifts your faith. It lets you know, hey, God brought me out of this. He could bring me out of that. And then you start praising God for the start praising him for the things that he's done for you already. I tell anybody that. I don't care what you're going through right now. You may not be at the light. You may not be at the light of, at the end of that tunnel right now. You may not be out of that test right now. But I dare you to give God praise for stuff that he's done already brought you from, right in the middle of it. And watch God lift your faith. Right when you start praising him, he's going to lift your faith. And I don't call myself a prophet. I do not. But I do call myself a child of God. But I'm telling you right now that if you are in the middle of a test, I'm speaking to you, if you are in the middle of a test right now, I dare you to start thinking about what God has done for you in your past and start praising him for what he's done for you in your past so that your faith can be elevated. And that which you think about that God has brought you from, that will bring you more joy. And that will let you know, God, if you did this, you'll do this. And that will elevate your joy. And that will bring you strength because the Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. And when you have strength, you can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth you. Ha, yadorabo siete. When you think of the goodness of Jesus, think about his goodness. Think about everything he's done for you. If you don't have the Holy Ghost today and you want the Holy Ghost, I dare you to start praising him, start thanking him for about everything he's done for you in your life, from the small thing to the biggest thing. I want everybody today to count your blessings. And name them one by one and start thanking him for every blessing that he's given you. You may not be able to remember them all, but start with a list. I dare you. And watch God move. In Psalms, I want to read that verse real quick. In Psalms 22, let's go to Psalms 22. Psalms 22, verse number 3. This is why I say, God is moved by our praise. He is moved. He dwells in the midst of praises. He dwells in it. What does that mean? He's moved by our praise. Psalms 22, verse number 3 says, "But thou art holy, O thou that inhabit the praises of Israel." Uh-oh. He inhabits the praises of Israel. Now, you might say, well, that says Israel. It doesn't say nothing about me. Well, guess what? I'm here to tell you, yes, it does. We know that Israel, the Jews of Israel, the Jews of Israel are God's chosen people. But when he said, but his own received him not, and when his own received him not, that gave us a right to come on in. They gave us right. We were adopted in. So we are a part of those people, of his chosen people. He has given us right to the tree of life. John 10:10 said, the thief cometh but to steal, kill, and to destroy. But I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. What is the life? He wants you to have life. He wants you to have life. He wants you to still have life. He wants you to still have life going through the test and the trial. That's why he wants you to praise him, because the enemy will try to steal stuff from you. The enemy will try to steal from you. The enemy will try to steal from you. Enemy will try to steal the very foundation from you. He will try to steal everything about you. But if you tap into the praises of God, that's why I said praise is your weapon. Praise is a mighty weapon, y'all. I'm here to tell you. Praise is a mighty weapon. And when you tap into that praise, give him all you got. Give him all you got. Give him all you got. Now watch this. In the midst of going through the problem or the test of the trial, people will tell you, yourself will tell you sometimes, well, I don't feel like praising. You know, that's the best time to praise him, when you don't feel like it. That moves God more when you don't even feel, when your circumstances when your circumstances are telling you, well, we don't feel like giving God the praise. When you don't feel like it, when your body says, no, I'm not feeling it. When your emotions say, well, I'm just not feeling it. I'm not, give God the praise anyway. I dare somebody right now that is listening to me, what is the highest praise? I dare somebody just to shout hallelujah anyhow. Shout it to the mountaintop. Shout it while you're riding in your car. Just say hallelujah. See, you can give God praise and you don't have to seem unseemly to people. There are times on my job where I give God the praise and my boss don't even know I'm giving God the praise. The Lord gave me something as a child. The Lord gave me something as a child to be able, because I've been in church my whole life. And as a child, I would make people laugh at the drop of a dime. I've always been able to make people laugh off the stuff that I say, some of the stuff that I say. But I'm being so serious about it. But there are times when I'm on my job and I'm communicating with customers or my boss or something like that, and I'll say something and I'll say something funny and I'll say hallelujah. But I'm really giving God the praise. I'm telling somebody about what God did for me And I'll say, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And I'll walk off, and they'd be busting out laughing. They'd be like, oh, it's time to go to church now. No, I'm really being serious. But I'm really giving God the praise. They don't know it, but I'm giving God the praise. Amen. So, and that's why the Bible says, that's why the Bible says in Psalm 34, I will bless the Lord at all times. I have made it a point in my life every day to get up and give God praise for something in my life. And I got a lot to be thankful for. And it ain't just around Thanksgiving neither. Because I know, and I said it right. I said it ain't. I sure did. I know that's not proper grammar. I know that's not proper grammar for radio. But let me tell you, when it comes to me talking about the name of Jesus, I don't need proper grammar. Look here. I don't need proper grammar when it comes talking about the name of Jesus. When it comes to me talking about what God has done for me, I don't need no proper grammar right now. I'm talking about what the Lord has done, because he's done great things. And that is a reason for me. You don't need to hang. My former pastor used to say it all the time. Don't hang your harp on the willow tree. My pastor, Pastor Tuggle, he talks about it all the time. You got to praise God. Don't be like that great falling away. My pastor told me about a lady, a mother that used to go to his former church, and this is before he had me. Amen. He was a teenager and about 20 something years old at the time or whatever. And he was working at a hospital, and the church that he was attending, this mother of this church used to always talk about something that she was going through. I mean, she would talk, oh, this is going on, and that's going on, and this is going on, and that's going on. And at the hospital, they used to work at the same place. They used to work at the same hospital and go to the same church. Well, every time he would see this mother, he would go the opposite direction. Because every time she would open her mouth, she would, well, this is going on, and that's going on, and my dog's over here, and my cat's over here, and this and that. And don't nobody want to hear that. When you talk about, when you are in holiness and you are in God, I know you're going to have moments where you feel like, hey, I'm at the end of my rope, Lord. I'm at the end of my, but not every day. Not every day. Every minute of the hour, you got, this is going on and that's going on. And you got, I got to deal with this. And I got to, we have that in the church. That they hanging their harp on the willow tree. When they tell this, and you know what? I love testimony service. I love it. Me personally, this is my own personal opinion. This has nothing to do with the word of God or anything, but this is my personal opinion. I don't like praise teams. Me personally. Now, if the praise team is having a praise service and letting people testify and all of that, then that's good. All right. I'm good with that. As a whole, the praise teams that I've seen throughout my life, they do everything. They sing the songs, they sing a couple songs, and they sit down and that's their prayer service. I don't like that. But I understand some of why pastors have stopped prayer service, because some of them don't want people praising the Lord. They trying to pick up time and they want to preach and all of this stuff. That's another topic for another day. But some of the saints don't know how to praise the Lord. And they cut the praise service out because they only talking about what the devil has done to them or what their problems have done to them. And at the end of, oh, I thank God. I thank God and continue to pray for me and my strength in the Lord. Now, you done talked about the devil all through that testimony, and the devil done this, and your kids done this, and your cat and dog have been over here in the yard and all this stuff. And where was the testimony? You talking about the test, but there was no money in there. there was no testimony. You got the test part right. You was talking about all the tests that you've been through, but the end of it is testimony. Money. You left the money out. You left all that out. You didn't talk about the joy of the Lord. You didn't talk about what you talked about, everything that the devil did. So I understand that part. But we need to go back to old school prayer services in the church, where the pastor let the praises go forth because the praises were so high. And we need to go back to old-fashioned testimony service, old-fashioned prayer services where the praises are so high, where the pastor had to sit back and just watch the Spirit of the Lord move, where the pastor couldn't preach that Sunday morning, all because of the praises. And the pastor was willing to just sit back, okay, I'm going to say this word for next Sunday. Cause his praises are high. I ain't gonna mess with the will of God. That's how high the praises were. That we go so far in this new amount of saints, they wanna get out, they wanna hurry up and have church and get out. But if we just sit in the flow of the Spirit, that's where the old, you know why, and I hate to go here, but this is what the Lord has given me in right now. The reason why we have lost the power that the old saints had is because we're not doing what the old saints used to do. They would stay on their knees, and I mean they would stay in the presence of God as long as they could. They would, look, if you was getting out, and I know a lot of saints now, they want to hurry up, get out by 12, 1 o'clock, and be done with service and don't have an evening service. And I know COVID done messed up a lot of people. But I am going to say this. I don't believe that was all COVID either. I don't believe that some of the services that have been knocked out of the church, like evening service and all of that, and I don't believe that was all from COVID. I believe some of that was from the spirit that was already on the inside of them. It just came out during COVID. Some people don't want to be in church no more. They want to receive a watered down message. I'm sorry. I said this topic wasn't gonna beat nobody today. But we don't want to stay in church no more. We want to stay in church an hour or two, and then we want to go home. Why do you think, because it don't take an hour for the Lord to do what he needs to do. I understand that. You might say, well, it don't take the Lord no hour and 2 hours and 3 hours to do what he needs. Maybe he wants you to rest in his presence for a while. You ever thought about that? I mean, growing up, and I'm talking about my own personal opinion here. Me growing up, I love going to church. This is the reason why now I love going to church. This is the reason why now I will sit in a church service and not only have church out inside the church, but have church on the parking lot, sitting, standing there with the saints talking, learning, getting the wisdom from the old saints. I remember back in the day, we used to have at my former church, uh, and and even at my current church, amen, even at Triumphant Faith, we have it. We have dinners at the church. Come on, somebody. We have dinners every Sunday. We would have dinners every Sunday just to stay in the house of God. And it wasn't forced. Nobody was forced to stay. Nobody was forced to. But we didn't want to leave the presence of the Lord. And how we would have dinners on Sundays and just that fellowship. It builds a body when you can fellowship with the saints and talk about the blessings of God. Because you're still praising God. We're still on topic. Amen. While you're sitting down there having a meal, you're talking about the praises of God. And you're talking about what God has done for you. And look, child, the Lord did this for me. And the Lord did that for me. And the Lord moved this mountain. And you just start having church right there in the midst of you eating again. Then you're ready for evening service. And you take that praise over in the evening service. I remember in these last few minutes that I have, I remember one time I was about 13, 14 years old, and maybe 15, I don't know, somewhere there. But I remember one time it was a Sunday morning. And the Spirit of the Lord was high. So high that it was all over the place. People was all over the place. And we went in the evening, so we had dinner and stuff and everything. And that Spirit flowed over into the evening service. Well, my pastor, Pastor Dorothy McGordon, told me to go take care of something downstairs in the basement for her. And I was in the midst of praising the Lord and everything, and my pastor called me over, and while I was trying to get instruction from my pastor, trying to do what she told me to do, I was still in the midst of praising. I went downstairs doing what my pastor told me to do at the time. She was telling me to take care of something for her. And in the midst of me taking care of something for her, I went downstairs in the basement, and my father was downstairs. And I was trying to tell my father what my pastor was, you know, asking him to do or whatever. And I was still speaking in tongues. And in the midst of it, I said, Mother wants you to do this and do that. And I just started speaking in tongues. And the Spirit was all over me. Just from the powerful service that we were in the morning and it went into the evening service. We was in the midst of the evening service. But I was still in the presence of God. And I went downstairs in the basement speaking in tongues. And I came back upstairs speaking in tongues. And my pastor said, baby, are you all right? I said, yes, ma'am. I feel real good. And I started speaking in tongues all over again. And she said, did you really go downstairs speaking in tongues? I said, yes, ma'am. I said, I still did what you told me to do, Ma, but I had to get that praise out. And she said, oh, that's fine. That's fine. She said, go ahead. I'm not stopping nothing. She said, you can do. She said, if the Lord is on you right now, you take care of the Lord's business first. Then you do what I tell you to do. She said that, the Bible says as they went, they were healed. Well, as you went, go forth in praise and do what you needed to do. She said, you was all in order. It was all in order. It was all in order. She said, you was not out of order. She said, you were heading downstairs, doing what I was telling you to do, you could praise God on the way. She said, yes, you could. Because I thought I was in trouble. I was like, Mama, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. She said, no, don't be sorry. I'm not, no. She said, do not be sorry for the Spirit of the Lord moving on you, for you to praise him. She said, I'm a nobody. She said, I'm a nobody when it comes to the Spirit of the Lord moving. Because I wanted to be obedient to my pastor, and I was, but it's just that I love to praise God. And that's why this praise will lead to your blessing. If we just give the problems over to him and then pray. Amen. According to the word of God, according to the book of Psalms, we must praise God because it leads to our blessing. The blessing that you are looking for right now, the blessing that you have asked God for, the prayers that you have prayed, everything that you need, there's one key element for you to you receiving what you want, and that's praise. Now, there's several other keys, prayer, fasting, and seeking the Lord. But one key element that everybody can use, because the Bible says, the Bible says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord. Everybody can praise the Lord. When we talk about worship, that's another story. Like I said earlier, not everybody in the church can preach. Not everybody in the church can teach. Not everybody in the church can do this. Not everybody in the church can do that. Unsaved people can't worship God, because you got to have his spirit on the inside of you to worship him. The Bible says, he who worships him must worship him in spirit and in what? Truth. You got to have his spirit. You got to have the truth on the inside of you to be able to worship him. But for you to get to the truth, for you to get the spirit on the inside of you, you can praise him. My father told a man one time, this man came in to a job that he was working at. And my father told this man, praise the Lord. And the man said, I can't say praise the Lord. I'm a sinner. And my dad said, my dad told that man, yes, you can praise the Lord, because the Bible says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord. And the man told my father, said a preacher told him that he cannot say praise the Lord because he was not saved. Look, let me tell you something, preachers. And I know I said that this was not a beating and knocking topic. But preachers, don't you tell somebody that they cannot praise the Lord. That is against the word of God. You have denied the word of God, because the word of God says it. Don't you tell a sinner that they cannot praise the Lord, because it goes against the word of God. And if you telling somebody that they can't say praise the Lord, if they unsaved and they can't say praise the Lord because they unsaved, the devil is a liar. The Bible did not say that. And the people that are turning up their nose to people that are backsliders or sinners in general, the ones that say praise the Lord, look, speak things as not as though they were. Look, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. The Bible says, in the book of Proverbs, the power of life and death lie in the power of the tongue. You giving them life by saying praise the Lord. If they want to say praise the Lord, let them say praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Speak things as not as though they were. Stop telling these people that they are not, if they're not saved or if they're a backslider, they can't praise the Lord. I heard about this more than once. Stop that. Because you denying, you know what, you're going to be in trouble if you do stuff like that. You're going to be in trouble, and the blood going to be on your hand. Because that's not what the Bible says. It said, let everything that has breath praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord. It didn't say sinner. It didn't say saint. It said, let everything. If the elements can praise the Lord, and the elements ain't got one bit of Holy Ghost, why can't a sinner praise the Lord? Come on here. they may not praise the Lord like you. My mom, before she got saved, she was praising the Lord, and she was up there. She did what she thought she could do. The Lord is not going to hold a sinner accountable for what they don't know. My mom was up there doing the cabbage patch before she got saved because she was praising the Lord, but she was up there, you know, doing what she thought was right to do. She was a sinner at the time. She did what a sinner did. I mean, she didn't know. The Lord's not going to hold you accountable for what you don't know. Lord's not stupid. The Lord is not stupid in his word. Lord is not going to hold. If they up there giving them the Lord, if the Lord, and I'm going to say this, in these last minutes that I have. If the Lord can accept a woman pouring out, taking precious ointment and wiping the Lord's feet with it and washing his feet in her tears and drying them off with her hair, and she was a sinner. Why wouldn't God allow a sinner or a backslider to praise him? Why? He allowed this woman to come to him, bow before him. That was her praise. That was her praise unto him. That was her glory unto him. And the Lord accepted it. She didn't know what else to do. So why wouldn't? If the Lord accepts praises from the trees and the birds and the snow and the rain, why wouldn't God accept? Now, I will say this. Now, if you up there, if you a saint of God and you know what to do is right, and you up there now, some of this stuff I see in church now ain't holy. Now, I am going to say that. Now, God will not accept if you up there trying to show everything while you shouting and stuff, because I've seen that too. Now, God will not accept that. I done watched men and women, it ain't just women. I've watched men and women try to act like they were praising the Lord and they was trying to show themselves off and all that. Now, God is not accepting of that. They try to dance and calling themselves shouting in front of a brother or a sister. The devil is a lie. Now, that God is not going to accept. Now, something like that, you need to sit down. I said that this was not going to be a beat down this. I'm sorry. I said that this was not going to be a beat down topic. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, y'all. Sorry. I hope that you got something out of this on today. I pray that everything is well with you. Continue to praise God, because this praise is leading to your blessing. In Jesus' name, I pray that you have a very, very blessed rest of your weekend. I pray that you had a very, very blessed Memorial Day. Amen. I didn't say anything last weekend, but I praise God for the show, and I believe that the Spirit Alive Network is reaching souls galore. Amen. Thank God, as I said earlier, I thank God for our founder and our leader over here at the Spirit Alive Network. In Jesus' name, Bishop Cook, I thank God for you. Amen. I give you honor again in Jesus' name. I hope I've said something to touch somebody's heart on today. In Jesus' name, remember, continue to praise the Lord. Continue to give him praise. Continue to give him honor in Jesus' name. If you do not have a church home, find somewhere to go. Make sure now, wait a minute. Just don't go to anybody's church now. Make sure you go to a church that preaches the truth, that preaches holy living, that preaches righteous living, that preaches the baptism in Jesus' name. Amen. And if you are in the Indianapolis area, you feel well free to come to Triumphant Faith Apostolic Assembly, where our pastor is Pastor William A. Tuggle III, and our First Lady is Cosette Trotman Tuggle. Amen. And our address is 2950 North High School Road. The address, again, is 2950 North High School Road in the beautiful city and state of Indianapolis, Indiana. In Jesus' name, if you're in the Indianapolis area, you can come on by in Jesus' name, and we will love you to life in Jesus' name. God bless you all. I love you all. And until next week, may God smile upon you. May heaven smile upon you on this week. Go ahead and go and have a blessed week in Jesus' name. God bless you. And as my grandmother used to say, if you don't see me again, and since we're on the radio, I'm going to say it like I would say on the radio. If you don't hear my voice again, I will see you in the rapture of the church. God bless you. God bless you, Bishop Cook.
God
everybody
bless
at the
you.
Spirit Love Network, I love you all. God bless
you
in Jesus' name.
God bless you. Hallelujah.